611 once welcome, always welcome. You're listening to Morning Devotion.
Brothers and sisters, peace be with you. This morning, Pastor Joshua will lead us to study the book of Isaiah chapter 5. The tree that loved by the Lord. What is the tree loved by the Lord? It's the people of Judah. It's you and me. The tree that the Lord loved is His people. The tree loved by the Lord is Judah, you and I. And then dot, dot, dot. We are the tree loved by God. We are the people of God. But how about our condition? If you don't want to put dot, dot, dot after this title, you can write, the tree loved by the Lord. The future, the present and the future. What will happen now and in the future. When we read chapter 5, and after chapter 5, we will come to chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. So this is another new paragraph in chapter 6. And after, like, in collecting Isaiah's prophecy, we see after chapter 6 is another stage. Or another collection. Chapter 1 to 5 is a unit. And this is the structure of the book of Isaiah. In chapter 5, we say, the Lord loved by the Lord is Judah. The people of Judah, it's you and I loved by the Lord. How about now? How about our future? Chapter 1 to 5 tells us. So this is like a shadow of the whole book of Isaiah. So it's about revival and judgment. Or the current situation, judgment and revival. It's the present and the future. So to us nowadays, I should put it this way. So in the year 700 BC, so in the year of Jotham, Hezekiah, Isaiah saw the problems of Judah and Israel. So this is the situation at that time. The northern kingdom, Israel, aligned with Aram or Syria today. So in the Middle East at that time, like Aram was the strongest power at that time. So they've been a very strong nation. Today we call it Syria. And the Israelite nation is their neighbor. The Israelite nation relied on Aram, aligned with him. And also, so go eastward. from Syria. And then we have Iraq. At that time, we called it Assyria. So Assyria raised up at that time. So for those who are familiar with the book of Jonah, the city of Nineveh is in Assyria. This is a big city in Assyria. And prophet Amos is much earlier than the prophet Isaiah. So under that situation, so the eastern part of Aram, and we could see Assyria rose up gradually. And Assyria and Aram, they are also neighboring countries. That is to say, Syria is connecting with Iraq. And the eastern of Iraq, we have Iran. And we have Medes. We know about this geography. If you're not familiar, you can look at the map. So the strongest nation, they align with other nations, is Aram. And then Assyria, that is Iraq, rose up gradually. And we could see the prophet Amos. God called him to ask Nineveh city to repent. Because if this nation is raised up, it will become a threat to Israel and also Judah. So Jonah, talking about Jonah, this prophet Jonah didn't want to go. But God has mercy and then throw him into a big fish belly. So before the year of Isaiah, this Nineveh city rose up. So he wanted to fight against Aram. These two powerful nations rose up. So what happened to northern kingdom Israel? And then Israel aligned with Aram in order to fight against Assyria or Iraq. So when Israel want to fight against this strong nation, like today we say some special organizations being raised up, or the two nations aligned together, and they want to pull Judah together. The nation of Judah was facing like Assyria being raised up. Now we want to align with Aram in order to fight against Assyria so that we will have peace. So for northern Israel, so in the book of Amos, you see how God vented his wrath against Israel. However, at that time, Aram repented. God didn't destroy this nation, and this nation becomes bigger and bigger. So Aram wanted to pull Judah together to fight against Assyria. So this, what we call this kind of organization, moved eastward, fight against Assyria. So what should southern Judah do? Because northern kingdom Israel already relied on Aram. Should Judah join this alliance? But how about this political stance? So what is the biggest protection, the best protection for Judah? for southern Judah had a different viewpoint. The, like the left wing or the right wing, or they come close to which alliance, this alliance or that alliance. So when the crisis comes, then the people want to get rich or wealthy. What are they relying on? Some people said, we have to rise up and rely on Assyria. And others say we have to rely on Egypt. While others say we have to come close to Aram. Oh, because we are brothers with Israel, so we should come close together. What should we do? So there are a lot of arguments in that area. Well, how about King Ahaz in the year of Isaiah? How about King Jotham and King Ahaz? Then they aligned with Assyria. So when they face the attack from Aram and from Israel, what happened to King Ahaz? So he scraped all the gold and all this wealth from the temple of God, from this holy temple, and gave all these things to Assyria, King Assyria. Aram has to fight against me, and Israel fight against me. I need your help. I give you the money, give you my wealth. So go and fight Aram for me. So he bribed Assyria. And after Assyria got all this money, she attacked Aram. Destroyed Aram. And Assyria became stronger. And as for King Ahaz, so he had made a lot of mistakes. So in Damascus, so this is Assyria, and the capital is Damascus. And even King Ahaz got their god and the altar, brought it back to Jerusalem. And then build up the altar. And he took away all the things from the holy temple. And then build up the altar of Aram. At that time, the prophet Isaiah was there. He saw what Judah has done. And he could see the conditions of Judah. And he has written 66 chapters in the Bible. He talked a lot. So it becomes this, compiled the 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. From chapter 1 to 5. So this is all about this, his prophecy. So in these 5 chapters, let us see. The structure is beautiful. Chapter 1, Book of Isaiah. At the beginning, I have given you a title, God's people should not be the oak tree in the world. This is how God rebuilt his people. And this is the situation. Chapter 1. And then for chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, or 1 to 5, is about the revival. So God's people corrupt. They have to face judgment. But after judgment, there is revival. So chapter 2 is about revival. Verse 2, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. Talk about the destiny of his people. Asking the people of God to walk in the light. And after revival, it talk about judgment. Chapter 3, starting from verse 6, is a talk about the judgment. Chapter 3. Talking about Israel, the Israelites, and the people of Judah. They relied on men, and they are foolish. Then God have to take away all the reliance on men. Chapter 3, verse 1. See now, the Lord Almighty, is about to take from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support. So it's about the economy and all aspects of their life. And it's verse 16 here. The Lord says, the women of Zion are haughty, walking along with outstretched necks, flirting with their eyes, stripping along with mincing steps, with ornaments jingling on their ankles. We thought Isaiah was talking about the women of Zion. In fact, he's talking about the whole Judah nation. So verse 26, we are still on chapter 3. The gates of Zion will lament and mourn. Destitute, she will sit on the ground. And your warrior will die under the sword, will fall by the sword. So it's telling the people that Judah, like it's prostituting with Assyria. In northern Israel, they relied on Aram. God said, I have to cast out all these things. This is their judgment. And after this judgment, then we come to chapter 4. First one is also talking about judgment. And from verse 2 to 6 in chapter 4, so it talk about revival of this nation. Verse 2 in chapter 4. In that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the land will be the pride and the glory of survivors in Israel. Those who are left in Zion, who remain in Jerusalem, will be called holy. So here they will be sheltered by God, by the Lord with his glory. Here we talk about the end day, the end times. So first, the Israelites, they prostituted themselves, and then they received God's judgment. And when the day, and then later God let them revive. So it's not the revival in Israel. Like today, the nation of Israel is revived. And after the nation is fallen, the people return from exile. And even talk about us today, talk about the future. So this is the prophecy of Isaiah in the year 700 BC. When they are facing, the nation is fallen, he talked about these things to the people returning from exile. And they returned to the Holy Temple. So that's 400 BC. And nowadays, in the 21st century, he's speaking to us. He's speaking to the whole world. So in that situation at that time, then the people relied on all nations instead of relying on God. And all their wickedness, God said, I will judge. But I have mercy. That's why there is revival. And I will reserve remnants of the people. And there will be the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. So refine God's people. And one day they will become the people of righteousness. So it seems that we have come to chapter 61. That God called them the tree of righteousness, the oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. Today, when we look at chapter 5, it's the tree loved by the Lord. So the tree here referred to the plantation, the planting of the Lord. And what is the tree loved by the Lord? God's people. But how about their situation? They relied on the people in the world, but not relied on God. But God prophesied that after they have gone through all these things, gone through judgment, they will have revival. So in chapter 5, so we see that they are planted by the Lord. All the way until chapter 61. In chapter 1, it tells us that people love the oak tree in the world. They want to embrace all nations. They relied on all the nations to get rich. But what God wants, what God hopes, what is it? So it's written in chapter 5. Okay, let's read this chapter. So in conclusion of what I said, so here is the current situation, and then followed by revival, and then judgment. And then comes revival in chapter 4. In chapter 5, it talks about the situation again, but it also talks about judgment. This is how these chapters are developed, and all the way until chapter 61. This is the prophecy of Isaiah since 700 BC, and it goes through the history of Israel. And then he also speaks to us nowadays in this place. When we read the words of Isaiah, when we understand our current situation and what we should do. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. So the hope for God's people has fallen. That is to say, God's hope for his vineyard and for his vine has fallen. Verse 1. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. We call this the song of the vineyard. In fact, it is the lamentation from God towards his vineyard. He's singing a song of lament. The vineyard was planted by the Lord. Judah and Israel belong to God. God sang this song of lamentation for his people. Second part of verse 1. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest wines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. He has done all this work, and he planted his vineyard. And he put the choicest wines there and built it up. He hoped that one day it will yield a crop of good grapes. So this is the Chinese NIV version, Chinese Union version, with the word good. So this is the grapes is supposed to be come out from the hand of God. Poison berry, it bears poison berry instead of good grapes. So we can translate it as poison berry. So it's more accurate to translate it as a poisonous grapes. So it's not about the good grapes or the bad grapes. It is the difference between good grapes or the poisonous berry. It's poisonous. It's not grapes. God hoped that his vine will bear good grapes, but it has yielded these poisonous grapes. And in verse 3, now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, so judge between me and my vineyard. So what more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for the good grapes, why did it yield only bad or bare or yield the poisonous grapes? I have to knock all this down. So I won't send rain on it. God said, my judgment will come. This is my judgment for my vineyard. I have done all these things. I have expectation on you. Verse 2 said, God hope looked to look for. His hope, he wants to look for all these things gathered together. There is a purpose in order to yield the good grapes. But you have yielded this poisonous fruit. It mentioned two times. That's why God said, I have to knock down all these things, destroy all these things. This is my judgment. And then he went on to say, and this is the title. Verse 7. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Israel is the vineyard of God. But this vineyard has aligned with Aram and has yielded this poisonous fruit because she relied on Aram. The tree that she delighted is Judah. In chapter 1, we mentioned that men love oak tree in the world because the people relied on all nations. Here, it talks about the tree delighted by God. Like Judah, the people of Judah is being planted by the Lord, should be the oak of righteousness. So what God looked for, hoped for, is justice and righteousness. However, God saw bloodshed and heard cries of distress. Justice is like upright. Righteousness is like what I looked for, what I hoped for. The people of Judah and the people of Israel, I hope that you will be right and just and have righteousness, upright, aligned with God. Righteousness is with the righteousness of God. So you have heard of the past Sunday's sermon. So God wants us to be the tree of righteousness, to be the tree of life. But you love the tree of the world. You love all nations. You are not upright. You are not aligned with God. But you feel with wickedness and sins. You do not have the righteousness of God. You are planted by the Lord. You should have the righteousness of God. Your heart should align with God. But how come you relied on all nations? Israel. You cannot be saved. Judah, how come you are like Israel? God was mourning. God said, Judah, so come and talk to me. Is there anything I can do for you? Judge between me and my vineyard. God is saying to us today, my people, I have done a lot for you. I hope you will become the tree of righteousness. I hope that you will be the vineyard planted by me. But you want to become the oak tree in the world, which belongs to men. Oh, money, power, army, this is what you love. You love all these things. You know you are planted by me. You don't rely on me, but you trust the world. Is the world saving you? Is it the world who saved you from Egypt, brought you out of Egypt? Is your existence from the world? Is your life from the world? So all these things I have given to you. How come you're not upright? How come you're unrighteous? What can I do for you? And then we see from verse 8 to 24, God judge those who are not upright, those who are self-righteous. So there are three kinds here, kinds of people. Verse 8 to 10, talk about the landlord. So they continue to build houses, add house to house, and join field to field till no space is left. So they just build all these houses. There is no space left. Whenever there are land, they build up all the houses. We talk about all these developer, the property agent, Woe to you. So in this 21st century, Isaiah is speaking to the property agent, to the developer, or to those who own a lot of properties. Talk to the developer. You add house to house and join field to field till no space is left. Woe to you. God has to deal with you. God has to destroy everything you have. You have a lot of lands. You have done a lot of things, but you have no crops. There is no production from you. Verse 11 to 17. God speaks to the thieves. For to those who didn't do any work. So from verse 8 to 10 is talking about the group of people who plundered the poor. And then the second part here is talk to those who just live their life by drinks. They didn't do any work. They steal things from people. Just like the landlords, you've done a lot of things. And even those people who didn't do any work, woe to you. And then the third type of people, verse 18. So for those who disregard God's teaching and despise the Holy One of Israel, they thought they have wisdom. They thought they are prudent. And they speak with their falsehood. Because these people are deceitful. This group of people, they have forsaken God. They are twisted in their mindset. And these people, woe to these people. And God has to destroy them. And then the third paragraph, verse 25 to 30. Under God's anger, he stretched out his hand against those people who forsake him. Here it talk about, it said two times. Verse 25, therefore the Lord's anger burns against his people. His hand is raised and he strikes them down. The mountains shake and the dead bodies are like refuse in the streets. Yet for all these, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. God stretched out his hand against these people. Israel, God's vineyard. So it's the vineyard of the Almighty God. They went and aligned with Aram, fight against Judah, and to persecute Judah, and to take all the resources from Judah to fight against Assyria. As for Judah, the tree delighted by the Lord is the tree of righteousness. However, they were injustice and unrighteous, not upright. Judah aligned with Assyria. To strengthen Assyria. God said, my people are injustice and unrighteous. I have to stretch my hand to fight against them. Strike them down. I have to remove, knock down the vineyard. And also, I have to knock down the tree planted and built by men. I use my spirit of judgment and spirit of fire to burn against them. And eventually, I will create my people of righteousness. And my anger will burn against them. My hand is still not upraised. Okay, if you relied on Assyria against Aram and also against northern Israel. So eventually, northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed by Assyria. God said, okay, Judah, if you relied on Assyria, I will raise up Assyria and eventually to deal with you. God's people, you are a planting of the Lord. You belong to God. Why do you rely on Assyria? And then verse 26 to 30, talk about the rising up of Assyria. God said, okay, you relied on Assyria. You trust her that in this place, I will speak to Assyria. Then I will cry out. Assyria came together with their army. So they run very quickly and destroy all over the place. I call them to come and destroy you because I have to destroy, knock down my vineyard. Brothers and sisters, today we are here. We talk about the history. There is truth in it. Today we have to stand by the truth. Let us not rely on this world. Let us not look at the money, not look at the power and the authority, look at the wealth. So those people and what they relied on will pass away. Only the Lord is our God. We have to become the tree of righteousness. So in today's day of trouble, we have a good future because the Lord is our God. He shows us mercy. He's a good God. So we have to become his people. Be upright and be righteous to be the tree of righteousness. So align with God. Amen. Bless you.